Hello and welcome to Press TV's Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, a united front is needed by Muslims in order to counter the schemes against them by the United States and Israel. This is according to many of those addressing the Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran. The importance of Muslim countries not establishing ties with Israel was pointed out to be key for Muslim unity. We're going to look at this as more and more countries are talking about the possibility of actually establishing ties with Israel on this debate.
The Zionist occupiers are the common enemy of the Muslim world. It is our responsibility to boycott them, expose their crimes, and prevent them from infiltrating the Islamic community. We must work hard to reject and criminalize all plots aimed at restoring ties, be it political, economic, cultural, academic, or social fronts.
This was a warning by the leader of the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement's political bureau. Ismail Haniyeh cautioned Muslims against any attempt to normalize ties with Israel. Haniyeh also vowed that the Palestinian resistance will reject the United States' so-called deal of the century. The Hamas official added that Muslims should devise a strategy to confront Israeli plots to Judaize Al-Aqsa Mosque. He made the comments while addressing the Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran via video link. Iran's president also addressed the gathering, calling for unity among the Muslim nations.
Today, for we Muslims, there is no way but unity and solidarity. If we become united, we will undoubtedly achieve victory against the Zionists and Americans.
Many other participants of the event also echoed Haniyeh's call on the Islamic nations to refrain from any efforts that lead to normalization of ties with Israel, something that Hamas previously described as a stab in the back of the just Palestinian cause. The remarks come on the heels of reports that suggest Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is scheduled to make an official visit to yet another Arab state. Israeli media say Netanyahu plans to visit Bahrain soon. Just last month, the Israeli Prime Minister made a surprise visit to Oman, where he met with the country's monarch, Sultan Said Qaboos bin Said Al Said. On the same day, Israeli culture and sports minister Miri Regev traveled to the United Arab Emirates and participated in the opening ceremony of a sport event. Analysts say that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia support these controversial visits.
This visit is part and parcel of the American-Israeli-Saudi attempt to create a much more moderate bloc in the Middle East.
There also have been numerous reports of back-channel operations and visits between Saudi and Israeli officials. Since the occupation of Palestine by Israel, only two Arab nations had formal diplomatic relations with Tel Aviv, Egypt and Jordan. However, it seems that the U.S. and its main ally in the region, Saudi Arabia, are pressuring other Arab nations toward normalization with Israel. The United States has even moved its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem Al-Quds, recognizing the Palestinian holy city as the Israeli capital. The move has already caused division among Arab countries. Some have chosen Saudi money and the American support, while the others believe getting close to Israel means stabbing their Palestinian brothers in the back.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Middle East expert and professor of political sociology, Mr. Saeed Sadek out of Cairo, and journalist and political commentator, Mr. Hossein Al-Mousavi out of Beirut. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in Cairo. And Saeed, why do you think Israel is so aggressively trying to recruit Muslim countries to establish ties with it at this time?
Well, if you look at the Arab-Israeli conflict, from the start, you had all Arab countries supporting the confrontation states, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, against Israel. But then later on, as the cost of the conflict began to be very expensive, the number of Arab regular armies participating in the war declined in 1948 from 7 to 3 in 1967 to 2 in 1973 to today. It is only some militia, either Hezbollah or Islamic Jihad or Hamas. So the military option has declined. So now, why, if the Israelis got rid of the confrontation state, why they are after countries that are far away, the Gulf states and North African states, who are far away from the conflict, but they used to contribute either media-wise, diplomatically, economically, morally. They just feel that if you keep the pressure and normalize relationship with those countries, it would lead to more pressure on the Palestinians, who would feel being abandoned, that everybody is abandoning them. And so they will have to accept the deal of the century, any agreement that is presented to them, they would accept. Mm-hmm. So this is as part of the psychological tactic that the Israelis are doing with the help of the Americans and Arab regimes. Mind okay. you, Arab regimes and the relationship with Israel and also some Islamic State is like the relationship between some men who have an illicit affair with a mistress, but when it is discovered, they accuse each other that they are the one who are having an affair, but not them.
Okay, and stay so with me, stay with me, say, let me get Hossein
what
involved in this
conversation. Has an affair with Israel.
Okay. All right, let me turn to Beirut and get Hossein involved in this conversation. Well, the other side of the spectrum is, why would these Arab regimes establish ties with Israel?
Well, of course, first of all, the only way that Israel can consolidate its grip on Palestinian territory is to have ties with Arab nations. Geographically speaking, Israel lies in the Middle East. It's surrounded by Arab countries. Therefore, the only way for it to survive, if I can say, and to not be demised in the region is to have relations with bordering countries. Where your guest is, where your guest is in Cairo, they have normal ties with Israel. Also, the other side of the border, Jordan, they have normal ties with Israel. It's only Lebanon that does not have ties with Israel. Just a quick response to your guest. He said Hezbollah is a militia. Hezbollah is a resistance movement. It's not a militia. It confronted the Israeli entity on a number of occasions. It was able to liberate Lebanon in the year 2000, and it is still continuing to impose its conditions on the table. Also, the only way Israel can have a green light is to have relations with the Israelis. And today the Americans are pressuring the Saudis in order to pressure the Arab countries in order to make sure that the deal of the century does go through. Today there are many Arab countries that refuse the deal of the century. However, unfortunately, we have some Arab countries, most notably countries from the Gulf. They are normalizing ties with Israel. So today, what we are seeing is that Israel wants to forcefully put its conditions on the table through the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, because unfortunately today the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is in the wrong side of history. Today Muslims should look up to Saudi Arabia. However, Saudi Arabia is playing a really wrong role in the region by normalizing ties with Israel. So just a quick response to your guest. The only reason it's getting closer to the Arabs because there is no other way. And we must remember Trump's comments a few days ago when he was asked that, will he punish Mohammed bin Salman? What did he say? He said, do you want to see Israel go? So he is basically saying that Israel cannot survive without the support and of Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Well, Saeed, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh has vowed that the Palestinian resistance will reject Donald Trump's so-called deal of the century. Does the deal offer anything good to Palestinians?
Well, of course, the issue about the deal of the century is problematic because no matter what is being offered, despite the fact that we don't have the full official details of that proposal, it would never reflect fairness or justice to the Palestinian question. We have to understand that peace is made on the basis of balance of power between the partisans. And the balance of power is imbalanced. If you define the Arab-Israeli conflict as a conflict between Arab states and Israel, 22 Arab states and Israel, are the 22 Arab states shouldering the burden of the conflict equally, or do they have the same ideas and that Israel is the main enemy, or they have other ideas and other enemies? So this is a problem. Secondly, if you define the Arab-Israeli conflict, this is a conflict between the Jewish state and Muslim state. So we are talking about 57 Muslim states. What are the responsibilities, duties, and burdens that the 57 Muslim states have toward the Palestinians? Do they distribute the burden of the conflict equally? Are they interested in a military solution, or they are interested in an economic embargo that would impose a political solution on the Israelis? For all those questions, you see that there is only rhetoric. Nothing is being presented properly. If the 57 Muslim states and the 22 Arab states do not have even a Schengen visa among themselves, how can they agree about their position on Israel? Some countries are normalizing with Israel, some are fighting Israel, but there is no unified command, unified stand on Israel. Okay. Some Gulf states are saying the real enemy is Iran. It is
so,
not Israel.
So you think the solution is to surrender, in other words?
Go ahead, Hossein.
So we surrender, in other words? Is that what exactly you're trying to say? If the Arab nations are not committed to protecting Palestine, this means we should surrender? Isn't resistance the only way out in this case? Isn't strengthening our alliance, isn't forming our alliance, as we saw today in Iran, this conference? Therefore, I know what you are trying to say is that we should surrender to the conditions of the Israelis and the Americans and now the Saudis. This is not the case. Did you see the last confrontation between the Palestinian resistance
and
the Israelis?
Well, you are analyzing something I did not say. I am only analyzing what is the situation. You are reading something from your mind. I mean, you are... I'm sorry, I'm just saying this is the situation.
You said that.
You have something please, we'll be happy.
You said some
we
are
normalizing,
happy
to join
some
you
are
in
fighting.
Liberating Palestine. I will be happy to join you.
Hossein,
your state isn't doing a good job because they have an embassy.
Well, Hossein, isn't it ironic that we're seeing these Muslim countries talk more about establishing relations with Israel during the same year that the U.S. has illegally opened its embassy in Jerusalem, and also we have seen the increase in the number of Palestinians being killed, especially in the Great Return March in Gaza?
Exactly, yes. And the reason for this is because Mr. Trump is trying to play with time. He has only around 2 years and a few months left before he tries to impose the deal of the century on the Palestinians forcefully. What we should also focus on, which is very important, is that there are two sides. Okay, I'll be with your guests. There are two sides. You have the Israelis and the Palestinians. The Palestinians are saying that they are against this deal. How can you go through with the deal? And also, as you said, the timing, this comes the normalization of ties between some Arab states and the Israeli entity comes after the U.S. announced that it will move, or it moved its embassy to Al-Quds. Therefore, they are trying to pave the way or setting the stage for the big announcement. And I believe Mr. Trump has 2 years before he announces this major announcement. However, what we saw last month from the Israeli delegation visiting Oman, and yet to come, we are set to see them visit Bahrain. They have very good ties with Jordan, and where your guest is in Egypt. They enjoy good ties with the UAE and Bahrain. Therefore, what is left? So today they are trying to set the scene for the announcement of the deal of the century, which the Palestinians are being forced to. They do not accept this.
Well, Saeed, your take on this, I mean, what is your take on it all, that why have we seen an increase in all of this this year? I mean, Iran's president has talked about the danger of Muslim countries actually establishing ties with Israel. Do you agree with him, or tell me how you see this whole situation? On the one side, we have those who are saying absolutely no ties with Israel. On the other hand, we see some of these Persian Gulf countries actually going towards Tel Aviv.
Well, as you see from the beginning, there is no unified Arab or Muslim command on Israel. What is to be done? The Arab League had the Arab peace plan in 2002, and they said normalization of relations in return for land for peace. So far, this has not taken place. The fact that there wasn't the Oslo agreement, it gives the impression to many Muslims and many Arabs that the conflict now is bilateral. It is only the Palestinians and the Israelis, and we are just watching. We are just spectators. And so that continued for a while. And until today, the Arab world is full of other problems that are taking over the Palestinian question. Now you have a problem in Syria, you have a problem in Yemen, you have a problem in Libya. And now it is not the only issue of the Palestinians that is busying the Arab street. Why there was no, the reaction in the Muslim and Arab world when the Americans moved their embassy to Jerusalem was so lukewarm, so cold, so cool.
Why?
We thought that there will be demonstrations
in the
street.
Let me give him the magic word. The magic word here is Saudi Arabia.
That was the case because Saudi Arabia, as I mentioned from the beginning,
it's the magic word. You said Libya, you said Syria, you said Yemen, you said Iraq, you said Lebanon. It's Saudi Arabia.
Okay, go ahead.
Saudi Arabia does not want any sort of resistance against the Israeli entity. Did you listen to Trump's comments yesterday?
Let me finish my
Did you listen to him?
Is that my turn or your turn?
Go ahead, Saeed.
Is that my turn or your turn, mister?
Go ahead, Saeed.
Thank you. As I mentioned before, any conflict, when it erupts, it enjoys popular support. This is the reality. But as the losses increase, people and public opinion support to any conflict start declining. And I started with the Arab-Israeli War, 1948. You had seven Arab armies. 1967, you had three. 1973, you had two. Now, today, you don't have regular armies. You can call them resistance, you call them militia, you call them as you like, but none of them can liberate Palestine.
Is this positive in your perspective, Saeed?
I cannot
analysis,
believe that Hezbollah
Saeed,
is able to liberate
listen,
Palestine.
So
I don't believe that the Syrian army after
saying,
this
Saeed,
civil war is
please.
Able to liberate the Golan
okay,
or liberate,
can you hear me, Saeed,
liberate
if
Palestine.
If you can hear me, please listen to what I have to ask. So in your perspective, what you're saying and your analysis, is this positive for the Arab countries that, as you said, at one point there were seven and then there were less and now they're even less? Is that something positive, or do you think that it should move in a different direction, perhaps resistance?
Well, in this case, you have to unite either the Arab and the Muslim command. You have one voice, not several voices. If you want a war with Israel, Arab and Muslim countries, 57 Muslim countries, including 22 Arab countries, decide that this the only solution is a military. Fine, we go for that. If you decide it is peace, then peace has also tactics, like economic embargo, economic pressure on the West,
all
economic
right.
pressure on Israel.
Okay.
Also, you have to define who is the enemy. Is the enemy Israel or other countries? Mm-hmm. You have to agree on that. But otherwise, you are saying in okay. Beirut this, and other
the
countries
enemy
are saying
wow.
something different. I don't know what is the view of Syrians today after the end of the war.
Okay. Well, Hossein, I think Saeed just said a lot. Who is the enemy in your perspective, Hossein, to the Muslim
It's quite
Ummah?
Funny.
Go ahead.
It's quite funny. We still have to search for the enemy, you know? This is very funny now, this discussion. We still don't know who the enemy is in the region. We've had him there since 1948. However, just a quick reply to your guest. He said that the Arabs haven't, because he's trying to give me this lecture in history. I think only a few years ago, the Arabs came together and they formed something called the Arab Coalition, which is now fighting in Yemen, which is killing the Yemenis. So when the Arabs want to come together, they do come together. But however, they came together to kill the Yemenis. They did not form a coalition, this very strong coalition with thousands of F-16 fighter jets. They did not form it against Israel. They form it against the most impoverished and poorest nation in the world. So for me, I think it's not a matter of the Arabs coming together, because I don't believe that they will ever come together. I think it's a matter of resistance. I think it's a matter that these resistance groups in the region, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, there are many of resistance factions. And also, it's very important that we spread public awareness among the public, because I know for a fact that the people in the region, in the Arab world, oppose their regimes. They are with the Palestinian cause. However, the people that rule these countries are taking their political decision by force.
Okay, well, Saeed, at the conference, the main theme at the conference in Tehran is basically resistance and unity amongst these Muslim countries. Is that problematic, or do you see that possibly as being the key for victory for the Ummah?
Well, I wish this is realized. I wish I would be happy to see Islamic unity, even with an Islamic Schengen visa, even to start with. Something simple like that, not the Israeli issue, not the Palestinian issue, just an Islamic Schengen visa, that they agree with each other, that the Muslim defense ministers meet, that the Muslim cultural and education ministers meet, have a conference. They don't even sit together to discuss anything. And this is a problem. I don't see that I have problem with our friend in Beirut. We agree. I am just stating you that this is the situation. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you because the Arabs are fragmented. They are fighting each other. They are fighting in Yemen. They are fighting in Syria, in Iraq, in Libya. Of course, that's why the Israelis find a divided Muslim world, a divided Arab world. And so they are normalizing relations with regime.
Okay.
There is a difference between normalizing relationship with regime and reconciliation with the people. The people reconciliation, it does not exist today. Even
all right,
in
stay
Egypt,
with me, Saeed. I'm almost out of time. Got to get Hossein in on this.
Hossein,
your perspective. What is key? You've heard what we were talking about earlier, the Islamic Unity Conference here in Tehran, that basically it's saying resistance and unity, the two key factors for the Ummah, the Islamic community, to be successful. Your take, and last question. 1 minute, please.
Yes. First of all, I find it quite very important, because I have to be fair here, that we have an Islamic Republic of Iran, which is looking into Arab causes while the Arabs are, you know, in a state of coma. So here I find it's my obligation to thank the Islamic Republic of Iran for bringing together these Arab nations, which 90% of them are Arabic. So today what is needed is that we should continue to support the resistance in the region with all its factions. We should spread awareness among the public, because as I said earlier, the public are against this. Today Mohammed bin Salman wants to visit Algeria and Tunisia, and there are protests on the street demanding that he does not visit. Therefore, today, it's an obligation that we spread awareness that Israel is an enemy forever.
And on that note, brings us to the end of this debate. Appreciate everyone being with us. First of all, our guest, Middle East expert and professor of political sociology, Saeed Sadek in Cairo, and journalist and political commentator, Hossein Al-Mousavi in Beirut. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and other crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.